Shalom v'chag sameach. Anachnu b'shiur.
Hello and happy holiday. Today we have a special festive lesson for all of the point and the hard groups and the southern Israeli groups. We'll read excerpts on the subject of Passover.
We have a special holiday that's really above all the holidays. A holiday that we were born. It's called a birth, a spiritual birth, a corporeal birth as a nation. And then we have the Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, and it's when we were made a nation. It's a very important holiday that a person, if we're talking internally, then a person is born spiritually. Before that, they were in a degree of high living. And from the exodus of Egypt, rising above the ego, the person becomes speaking, Adam, like the Creator. It's written on our ego that I created the evil inclination. He made it that there will be a difference between Him and us, that there will be the complete opposite, and that we will be the created being, opposing Him. And on the other hand, that we will also be able to be like Him for whoever wants to. And we see that we are advancing to it. At first, we discover the ego as still vegetative, living humans that are in this world. For thousands of years that we've been existing here, and after, this will to receive starts to be more established, and it demands more, starting to demand corrections because we're not comfortable. That will to receive, that's a very big, that's been revealed in Babylon 3,500 years ago in the time of Abraham. And that will to receive demanded the correction. It was disclosed in a way that we can't live well. We can't live quietly. We can't live in calmness. We can't continue our lives. And then it comes in a way that really is against us. It's rising against us, and then we feel that it's disturbing us, that we can't attain the meaning of life in such a way that we discover it as an enemy, a hater, something that's against us. And that state is called the recognition of the state of Egypt. It's not that we're physically there, geographically there. But if it's discovered in a way that's opposing the yearning for connection, for that calmness, for the upper force, then a person feels that he's in the authority of that evil force. That now we see, according to our ego that doesn't let us connect between us to build a better life, we see from the children, from the youth, and adults, and the nations, and governments, and so on, that ego is discovered in its entirety, in a complete way. And then that state is called Egypt. Then what happens is that we rise above that Egypt, we run away from it, we escape and we go to a state that's called Midbar, the desert. And it's all in regards to that will to receive that's controlling us. If we can rise above it, then it's called that we're in the desert. We're not correcting it. We're just jumping above it to acquire the degree of binah, the quality of bestowal. When we get to it and acquire that quality of binah, then the difference between malchut and binah is what we learn, what you heard about, I'm sure. It's 40 degrees of binah. It's the 40 years in the desert. And by that, we go through the desert. We acquire the quality of binah, the all chassadim that influence us, and all of us try to be tied, connected to that light, that quality of binah. That Egypt is in the desert, in the time of the desert, but we're above it. When we finish it, when we complete that period, when we, despite all of the will to receive that's so big that's in Egypt, we can cover it with the desire to bestow that's called Binah, then we complete the period of the desert, and we start with that force of Binah, that force of bestowal, the light of Chassadim. We start not to cover, we completed the covering of the will to receive, but we start to work in practice with the will to receive. And that period of time is called Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. And in that time, that the will to receive wasn't destined for anything, and it started to grow through the period of Egypt. And then it got a covering of Ol Chassadim in the desert. And now we're working above that will to receive and turn it, we really plow it, and we turn it into a desire to bestow, and it becomes a fertile land that we can grow from the will to receive in order to bestow. And these actions are already called Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Eretz is the desire that can be directed to the upper force, to the El. Now we're in periods of times that are very special, of the first temple, its ruin, the exile, and then the second temple, and then the longer exile for 2,000 years. And after that, we get to our time. That's at the end of all of the exiles, like all of the Kabbalists write, Baal Sulam wrote about it, that we're in the times of the Messiah. And that's why, even though our work is the most difficult, with the biggest will to receive, something that wasn't disclosed, wasn't clarified, it wasn't corrected throughout all of the generations, throughout all of the years. Now, it's awakening, and it's coming to us to be corrected. It seems that we're strong, that we're special. We just don't recognize it. Our souls are very heavy, very egoistic. But we need to do it. We need to correct the will to receive that's discovered with the desire to bestow. That if it'll want, then each and every one, if each and every one will want, they can do it. That's why this holiday for us is very special. Because we count all of the actions that we are doing. They're these spiritual actions. They're in remembrance of Egypt. Why? Because there the big will to receive was revealed to us, and up till now we are working in many ways with the correction. And that's why we are in a very special time now, all of us together, and it all depends on us. It's all open to us. We're finally able to understand what's happening with the will to receive that the Creator created, with the qualities that we have. What can we do to correct? And to what do we need to get? That's why we need to be very happy from what's happening. That we got to the final stages of the correction. And ahead of us is really, even though it's a very difficult step because it's the last step, it's like the final seal on the whole correction. But it's very difficult. I hope that we will do it, and we'll bring light to the whole world. And we'll feel the existence that's great and expansive, and great, and in a true harmony of the two forces, the force of evil, and that is the will to receive, and that's our ego, and the force of good, that's the Creator, and we'll feel them in a embrace and connected, the two of them. And we understand more than the rest of what the holiday of Passover, Pesach, means. And we're more attributing this holiday to what we can do now, not what our ancestors did and what they did in Egypt. These are, nice memories. No, these aren't memories and symbols. These are things that we can do right now, things that we can fulfill and turn all of these years that we worked on the will to receive and get to the final stage. That it'll all be covered in the desire to bestow, and we will discover the world of Ein Sof, that it will be opened up to us. That's as an opener. Is there any questions? Yeah, please. Don't be embarrassed. We all understand, we all know each other. And women, come on. Usually we're men, they're shy, but women. Yeah.
Moses comes to Pharaoh to ask him to release him, and then there are, the punishments. So why punishments?
In what circumstance are you talking about?
The Exodus from Egypt.
With the 10 blows? No, we're not asking from the Creator for blows. Never. We're asking for the Exodus, to exit that is the will to receive in order to receive. The problem is not to leave this desire. It's our material. We can't leave it. We can't get rid of it. We can only get rid of the intention, the kavanah, that will be in our benefit. it seems to us in our benefit. But we need to understand that this intention is what's killing us, what's destroying us. It's not to our benefit. Even though we were born with it, and it seems to us that all of our life has been in it. But really? If I think about it, it's what's blocking us, it's closing us off, it's disconnecting us from the true life. To think without any intention, just about ourselves, and then if we do that, then we'll exit that what's received. The difference is of this, you know, this limited world, this small world, and comparing it to the spiritual world that's in Sofi, like infinite, that's complete, is that right now we're just thinking about ourselves in an instinctive way. I'm always thinking how it's comfortable for me, good for me, you know, looking all around me, checking myself, consciously or unconsciously, to see if I am in maximum comfort that I can get from the state that I'm in. And that's our nature. If we would disconnect from that intention to always worry about ourselves, the person won't worry about himself. It just stops. It's severed from it, from that concern. And immediately we'll feel the reality is different. Because that concern, that worry for myself, is always, it's placing myself inside myself. I'm always inside myself. What's happening with me? What will I get from this? And so on and so on. With all these calculations that are going through my head, we're not even aware how all the time we're, you know, chewing, like processing all of this. And if we stop, then we'll immediately feel the spiritual world, a whole new reality that has no connection to us, supposedly to with our concerns, with our previous worries. And we'll feel the eternal, complete, perfect life that's not connected to this intention. We need to learn how to do this. Through the environment, we can invite a special force that is the Bina, the reforming light, and get to a state that's that'll happen. I recommend it to everyone. Those will come back to their roots. No one will be pushed out. The ones who come to this, that's waiting for us, and more, we already exist there. We just don't feel it in our current state. But we can get to it even before the end of correction. Gmar Tikkun, that's promised to everyone. We can get to it now, this moment. It all depends on our effort. The whole wisdom of Kabbalah says, this is what Baal Salam writes, and this is why we will tell our troubles, that's enough, we don't want any more. We don't want to be delved in our ego that's depicting this world in this way. We want to get to a state that everything is open, and I'll see myself existing in the Insof, the infinite, in a beautiful, harmonious way. In this integrated reality, that's, you know, beautiful. No, that doesn't include our universe. It's so small, it almost doesn't exist in spirituality. But completely, you know, in a way that we can't understand this reality of the true reality. But that's what we need to get to. And we can get to it. And that's what will open to us. Those who get some kind of relation to it, and billions of people in the world, you got to state that you can learn the method, and you can fulfill it, and practice it. And that's why we're here. Yeah.
So I reach a state where even if I'm taken to be slaughtered tomorrow, it's a shock, but immediately I lose it, everything is erased, and I start thinking about nonsense again. What you're describing now is a very beautiful, very emotional image. I feel it. But again, I run away from it. I come back to myself. I forget about it.
There's no doubt if you do it alone. But if you take more friends and you start to build from that acknowledgement, connection between you with what the Kabbalists have recommended to do, then you build this network of connection between you. And in this network, you start to feel new phenomena. Rabash writes about it in his first 20 articles on the society. Try to fulfill it. Men, women, try to fulfill it. And you'll start to feel how in the connection between you, you have an extra force. An extra force that's called the force of bestowal. Or the Creator. At first, it'll be felt as the light of Chassidim, the light of bestowal. And then it'll be felt as the light of Chochmah that's discovered in the light of Chassidim. And then you'll discover the Creator in the connection between you. It all depends on how much you try to hold one another that this net will not be torn. Alone, of course. Alone in a moment, you fly away to all directions. To all your egoistic directions that are very individualistic and has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Only the society can hold you. Because each and every one, in each and every moment will come and go and come and go and come out of it and come back. And you will very quickly lose all of this information that will tie you together in such a way that it'll stay in this persistence. Yeah, there is a lady over there that wanted to ask a question.
Thank you. I wanted to ask about the raising of man. First of all, I understand, I hope I understood correctly, that it's very important to reach that raising of man. And I want to perhaps be more precise about understanding how this can be done, if a single person, an individual, can do it. You said today that he can, but how to do it in the best way?
First of all, man is called food that people of Israel ate in the desert. In the time in the desert, they ate man. The desert is called shmama, silence, that you can't be delighted in what's correct. What can you have pleasure? What can you hold on to? What can give you strength to continue in the spiritual work? It's talking about feeding the spirit, the soul. And so I say the soul needs to receive nourishment that's called man. That's called the light of Chassidim that illuminates from the degree of Bina. And to get this light of Chassidim, we need to raise a deficiency, a chisaron, that's called man, mei nukvin, deficiency to Bina. And then, from above, from Bina, we get mad, mei tchurin. From the Bina, lower, it comes down the abundance, and we can fill ourselves. From that, we fulfill the corrections in a period that's called the 40 years of the desert. It's not 40 years. It's a period that's called 40 years. Because there's 40 degrees from Malchut to Bina.
Can I ask for further clarification? I wanted to ask if we can do this in the 10. How can we do this in the 10? If we ask about the same exact thing on the same frequency for bestowal? What in practice is the best way of accomplishing this?
Only through society, through a group. Alone, there's nothing like that. We need to remember that the sons of Israel went into Egypt because they didn't want to connect. The sons of Jacob had a fight between them and the sons of Joseph and so on. And so the whole Egypt is an attempt to connect. And once they get to connection between them, at least the first part of it, they somehow feel that another moment the Creator won't let us connect, but they really want to connect. In that moment, they exit Egypt. And then their first connection is in going through the Red Sea, parting with the sea, and then receiving the Torah. So all of our work is in connection. And
when I'm in the tent, if we ask for the same thing, for connection, does it mean that we're raising man? Can it be said?
Man is a prayer. It's what's missing for us.
Okay. I understand. Thank you all.
Man is called a prayer. Yeah.
Yes. She asked you two of my questions, and you gave the answer to them. But I wanted to know that when we are in the desert, is this a higher place of seeking none else besides Him? I mean, when I think of the desert, I think of, you know, you need water and provisions and all those other things. So is this reliance more connection to the group or more connection to the Creator?
The state that we go in the desert is when I understand more and more that only by the connection between us in the group I receive the reforming light more and more, and reforming light gives me the nourishment and life to the soul. It's the preparation of the soul in the light of Chasadim. That's called Maim, water. Connection, the first connection, the first stage of the connection between the people in their attempt to rise above the ego. We have the ego, and we saw in Egypt that it was doing bad, and we didn't want to be in the ego anymore. We rise above the ego, and that's called the exodus from Egypt. We acquire the strength to be above the ego. That's called the 40 years of the desert. We rise to the degree of Bina. And now that we're in the degree of Bina, after those 40 years in the desert, we come back to deal with our ego with the force of Bina. That means we're starting to work in the land of Israel, in the desire of Israel, Yeshal El, straight to the Creator. The ego goes straight to the Creator, Yeshal El. And that's why we remember Egypt. That's from where we took that big desire, and now we process it in order to bestow. Yeah.
Good evening. I wanted to ask about the work, exactly what you mentioned now regarding how we continue the work after the connection formed here. If the law of the system exists here, it exists not only here in Nebuch, but all over the world.
What do you mean all over the world?
Meaning these laws, these deterministic laws of the system, they continue in all of reality.
Yes, but not in a directed way by people. The upper force lowers to us all sorts of laws, and we keep them instinctively. Of course. We're talking about how people want from below upwards to keep the laws of the upper.
Right, so I'm asking about that. If our work here qualifies us for this process of from below upwards, in the tents, could we in the future expand our work and to identify that same will to receive, that state that we need to restrict outside of here? You know, with those who just toot the horn on the roads. So the same laws working outside in society, to see them also.
Of course, of course. You'll start to feel how in all of the reality that's around you is clothed the force of the Creator. And how He operates everything, does everything, and gives you an opportunity to connect with Him in the recognition of the whole reality.
In this context, can I ask another question? I think I have this question brewing in me for 2 years already. 2 years ago, you said that the more we work together, it seems that our connection here in the 10, in comparison with our connection in our families, you likened it to planet Earth compared to one of the other planets. So I'm asking, how do we bring the power of the 10 also into other cells, other circles we're in?
Look, I asked about this in different ways to the Rabash. I understood that the Creator is... The Creator is handing out reality into these laws and rules. And we haven't gone to a state that we can start to work on the family level like we can work on a spiritual level. It hasn't gone to that time. It's a stage that's even more, that's later on. Maybe now that we're in this family crisis, that the families are being broken up and people don't want to bring children into the world, they can't keep themselves after these years, they can't stand this person that's next to them for more than 10 years, and even that's pretty good. They don't even want to get married and stay with their parents until the age of 40. All of these depictions that we see in the world, that's coming to the state that we will begin the correction in a new family.
According to these same laws, Tzimtzum, Masach,
that won't change. I don't know how to say it. I don't want to say how I understand it. That's how I understand. But, of course, the rules are the same rules. In what way will they be fulfilled? In the material, in people? I don't know. I can't say.
Thank you.
We'll get to it. We'll learn that too. All right.
Happy holiday, everyone.
At the
beginning of the path, we're taught the rules of the workshop, which are actually rules given to us by the Kabbalists, by which we can achieve connection.
Yeah, we don't need any more than that.
So with time, the rules of the workshop, according to my understanding, have to become an integral part of us, of how we behave. So my question is as follows. To what extent are the rules of the workshop important? Meaning, to what extent is it important to observe these rules of the workshop? And is it correct to say that the rules of the workshop were given to us in order to violate, to break?
What do you mean by that? And then what will we receive? More? Double? What does it mean to break them or violate them? To do it opposite?
I also tried to understand this saying. It was said by someone in the 10. It's something that's very... In recent weeks, it just disturbs me a lot because, as I feel it...
In short, where is it written in our sources?
It's not written. But again, it's very important for me that you just speak a little about the rules of the workshop.
Lady, I don't know what you have there in the workshops. Have someone to come and manage them, to explain to them, talk to all of the other friends in the workshop in the sedna. I'm trusting that I'm giving you an example. I'm taking into account only what's written and what my teacher said. What he wrote, what he said, that's it. Nothing else doesn't matter. All the rest doesn't exist. Especially when someone says, you know, just some person from this world. It's not that I'm disregarding them, but it, for me, it's not an authority. Who are they? Kabbalists are people who attained the upper world, that they exist in it, they feel it, they feel the rules. And according to that, what they write, that's, for me, something that's above me. And what the friend says, it's very nice. And come, let's scrutinize it together. If it's correct, then it'll be accepted by the two of us and we'll keep it. But only from the sources. Also, what I wrote is not enough. Only Balasulam and Rabash. Okay? So that's to say that the rules of the workshop are important. Rav, what do you mean? We don't have anything else other than to build a system that will be a system like the system of Adam HaRishon before the shattering. That is to connect us. We'll have a connection between us. And these rules of the workshop is what it brings us to that. And how to bring these different pieces of egoism. How we can bring these pieces of ego together, to connect them. By what forces? By what rules? First this, and then that. In what way? In Shosh Aleph. All these different degrees of aviyut, direct lines, tifukeraka. This is what we need to do between us. Good luck. Yeah. Good evening. It's a delight to listen to you, Rav. And you asked for questions from the women, so with your permission, I'll ask a question that's to do with women. That is it fair to say that righteous, thanks to righteous women, people of Israel came out of Egypt? I'm very curious how the wisdom of Kabbalah relates to this phrase. What exactly is the responsibility of the righteous women? And what's the attitude of wisdom of Kabbalah to women in the Exodus from Egypt? Rav, we represent in our bodies seemingly the two genders, the male gender and the female gender, as if the male gender is bestowal and the female gender is reception. It's not correct according to corporeality, but in our world we have an imprint from this spirituality. It's not that we had many righteous women who worked in Kabbalah and got to spiritual degrees. Thanks to righteous women that we had in Exodus from Egypt, is these degrees of Malchut that couldn't stand the governance of the will to receive, and that's why they were the ones who pushed the whole kli, the whole vessel, to exit the will to receive. That's called thanks to the righteous woman. It has nothing to do with women or men. The wisdom of Kabbalah, there is no attribute to what's happening in this corporeal world. Each and every one has a male part, a female part, until the female part agrees with the control of the ego, that the female part can't stand the ego anymore, then we exit the exile. That's why we respect the righteous woman that's in each and every one. That's in me and it's in you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I had a question to ask.
First, where are you from?
From the Hever group from Rishon LeZion. 10 number 2.
Ken.
In our prayers and requests, which we engage in endlessly, I came across, first of all, we prepare for adhesion with you, the creator of the world, equivalence with you, and ultimately we reach the point where we want to bring contentment to you, the creator, who is good and benevolent. And I came across a problem. What does it mean to bring the Creator contentment? And also, I couldn't understand what it means to work with the intention in order to bestow. Is it the same thing? Are these two different things? What does it mean?
To bestow contentment.
In order to give you contentment, or in order to bestow, is that the same thing? Or
yeah, it's the same thing. It's just words.
Ah, I see. Thank you very much.
No. Yeah, come on. Just women. What men do we have? They let the women ask.
Hello, happy holiday, dear Av.
To you too.
I wanted to ask, what are the 10 plagues within the 10? How do we go through that?
I don't think it's what we need to go through. In a way that we're told from the Haggadah. You know, with the frogs and the locusts and so on until the Makat Bechot, blow of the firstborn, the killing of the firstborn. It's something that a person goes through in the will to receive. In a heavier and heavier way, in more harder way, in a way that we see that we have to run away from the control of the will to receive. They come all the time in the overcoming, in greater and greater overcoming, from the smallest plague to the hardest plague. And then after all these 10 plagues compared to the 10 sfirot, then we exit.
When?
It has nothing to do with the blood, with the frogs, with the locust. Don't think that it's going to come in that way. It all comes as degrees of the will to receive that are revealed to be corrected.
But with everything that we do, we still haven't come out to from the will to receive.
Start to connect and discover the first plague. Shout that the Creator will save you. He'll save you. And you'll discover the second plague, how much you're even more egoistic. And you'll want above this will to receive to also connect, and you can't, and you'll sigh from the work, and you're asking for the correction, the connection between us, and he'll help you, and you'll connect, and you'll start to thank him. You start to thank him, and immediately after, you'll get the third plague, even worse, and so on with all the 10 plagues. Gradually until you disconnect from your will to receive that is in order to receive. That's it.
That's it.
And you'll be free from the will to receive. And you'll be able to go through the parting of the Red Sea, and the reforming light will start to correct. Not that you'll disconnect from the will to receive through the 10 plagues, but you'll start to correct it. To bestow in order to bestow, which is the 40 years in the desert. Yep, please. tomorrow in the evening on the roundabout, a big remembrance for the tragedy that was in the Negev.
Yes, a year ago it happened.
It was a year ago?
That flood. Yes.
We will have discussion circles there. Some of the facilitators will be our friends. Some of them won't be our friends. Some of them will be from all sorts of people. The facilitators of the circles, I will also be one of the facilitators. I will actually be guiding the facilitators. What kind of feeling, what kind of thoughts, what do I need to go with to have in these circles? There will be hundreds of people that will go through these circles, and I want as many people as possible will feel the importance.
That's what you said there, the importance of the connection. If we were connected, no trouble would come close to us. It depends only on the degree of our connection. That's it. What happened back then, and from back then through to today, and from now on, who knows what will happen? It all depends on connection. Connection brings us the light, and the light protects. That's what we need to explain to them. There's nothing else that we need, and it all depends on us, not on anyone else. And we can do this, and we don't need any special instruments or any special conditions for it. Nothing. We exist, right. We have hearts, yes. Let's start to bring the hearts closer together. Let's do it forcefully, as much as we can. If we succeed, if we don't succeed, it doesn't matter. What matters is the effort. According to that effort, we act upon the Creator. There is no other act that acts upon Him. Only the bringing of hearts together.
Thank you. Hello, happy holiday. If we don't succeed in keeping the rules of Baal Sulam, how do we attribute this? Is this a personal correction? Is this
why aren't we succeeding?
I don't have a family that's supporting. We can't keep these rules. Some of them I keep, sometimes I manage. How do I attribute this?
This is your own personal calculation. What does it mean? Family, home, they support, they don't support. I don't understand this. This is my private, personal work with the Creator. I'm connected to the Creator. And no one else can come into this. No one. I'm going to connect with my 10. I learn something, I study. My husband has nothing to do with it. Well, it's the soul. It belongs to the Creator. It doesn't belong to Him.
All that we learn is to keep in Passover physically. And at home, I can't do it.
It's not crucial. You don't have to. Let it go. You need to keep all these things in a way which is from heart to heart.
Thank you.
Well, perhaps some men? Yes or no? Other women? Yes, please, go ahead. Yes. You can come here every day to the lesson, right?
Happy holiday. Thank you, Rav.
Happy holiday.
My question is, Passover, all of these holidays, they come to us to give some kind of internal importance.
Yes.
The chametz, all of the cleaning.
It's all inner.
So my question is, I try to keep all of this, I get rid of all the chametz, I burn the chametz, and it's written to also burn the in the sand. What's the importance of this whole process that happens in my internality and with the 10? How is this whole process practiced, really, in a way that we do with these actions that we do during Passover?
Inside?
The 10.
Your will to receive all of it, which is called chametz, leavened, your ego. Do you have any?
Yeah, of course.
Alright, so you have the recognition of evil already. Good. So you need to burn it so that it's like ashes. What is ash? The safest thing. How? Because nothing can grow from it. Do you understand? It's impossible with ash. You know, something that's burnt. If it's burnt, nothing can grow from it. You want to burn, purify your will to receive down to that state, your ego. Alright?
Thank you.
More women? Yes? No.
No.
Quickly then.
Happy holiday. It's a bit difficult for me, this order of the story. If they crossed the Red Sea, parting the Red Sea, and what's the when they were at the Mount Sinai?
3 months after that.
No, not that time. That's not what I mean. If they were in 40 years, is the entrance into the land of Israel, then when was their time at Mount Sinai? Have the 40 years?
Are you asking? All right. Passover and Shavuot, is that what you mean?
No. I'm trying to say that when we were in Mount Sinai, is when the hate was at its height.
Yes. Highest. The highest hatred? That's a revelation, yes. It's a revelation that, yes, it's the highest hatred.
Then we had Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. So, when's... is this after the 40 degrees that we have the Mount Sinai?
No. After the reception of the Torah, then these 40 degrees begin to develop within the person. Due to the reception of the Torah. Thanks to the reception of the Torah. There has to be Torah, or a light which reforms. It's said, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah as a spice. You know that, right? And what's written next?
The reforming light.
Because the light, and it reforms one. So everything's clear. I created the evil inclination, that's in Egypt. I created the Torah spice, that's the reception of the Torah. Because the light, and it reforms one, and that is throughout the 40 years of the desert. And later, you build the land of Israel and the temple.
So, to go through the Machson, that's before reception of the Torah, and that's at the time of the Torah, reception of the Torah?
Crossing the Machson is at the time of the reception of the Torah, yes. It's a lady. Yes, go ahead.
Shalom Rav. Hello Rav. My name is Leah. I'm from the Jerusalem group. I am in charge of the dissemination on Facebook amongst women. And every morning I look for some material to send later to all of the groups in Jerusalem. There's many groups within Jerusalem, there's different neighborhoods, there's men, there's women, and I'm all the time stuck in one thing. I can't find the new material. Maybe there's some center that I can reach, that I can get the interesting material that's short on the subject of today that we can publish.
I have no idea.
For example, I go onto Facebook, I go to the website of Michael Lightman,
yes,
or Kabbalah La'am, and I can't find it. It can be days that I don't find anything new. We don't have anything to disseminate. I start to look through the Facebook of Owen Levy or other friends, and I start to take from there the videos, because our women of the group in Jerusalem it's closing a path for us if we're giving heavy material. It needs to be material that's easier to process.
I don't know. I have no control over that. I saw that my power to influence the content people, those who write, I have no control of them. These are people who do whatever they feel like. Seriously, I'm telling you. As much as I may think that I explain again and that they understand what needs to be done, nope. I myself don't know what's written there. I just don't go into it. I write on my Twitter. That's it. That's the only thing I write. Everything else, I'm not in charge of what's going on there and in what manner it operates. It's operated, rather. And I haven't the energy to get to that. No, we lack some commando, right? Who will take charge of all of our publications and will manage everything and will know how to manage it and how to do it correctly. There is none such. We don't know how to organize it. Why? That's how it is. People don't think it's important and they don't understand how much they're losing by it. And so for dozens of years, we're doing all sorts of works, playing around, but in effect, it's not effective. It's only holding us back on the path.
Yeah, because we always say dissemination, 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 and we work and we work and we want that we get to a point in time that we want to do it, but there's no material. Your tweets, I read them, but they're in Russian. I read them in Russian and from Twitter. Okay, I'll take it into account.
It's in all languages.
There's a big desire that we'll have some kind of central command where we can go there and take material for dissemination.
Correct, correct. Make one. Do it. How else? You keep going back to me. You keep returning to me every day. I get some letter, some email. Please do this and that. Why aren't you doing this and that? I don't do it. I give you lessons, and you will do. And if you don't do, then you won't receive anything. And it'll remain as it is.
So I would like to talk with others who are also stuck on this and be together in a group that will take care of this.
I'm raising my hands here.
Ken.
Yes.
Hello, Rav. I have a question about Pesach, Passover. I understand that we can't hug during Passover. And there's a thing with hugging, with passing, passing things from hand to hand. And I tried to understand with the friends, I didn't get a clear answer.
There's no source for that. In the halakha, you can embrace her and she can embrace you, and there's nothing to it. These are such special prohibitions where the Kabbalists used to behave in that manner in order to show how much they care about even the smallest signs of the evil inclination in them, that it won't awaken. No, you can do it. You can do it.
No.
Thank you.
Are we done with the women? No, another one. All right, please.
No, tatchil daber.
Start talking.
Good evening. Happy holiday. I have a question. If I understand correctly, the whole thing with the holidays that we are in our reality celebrating, but we're not committed to it. The work needs to be internally, spiritually. So why do we celebrate? If the work is personally, internally, spiritually, so why do we celebrate it in this corporeal reality?
Because the spiritual roots must also touch the corporeal branch. It must touch it, must reach it. Therefore, the Kabbalists themselves are the ones who established these holidays and brought them to the group called the People of Israel in order for them to have the root and the branch connected.
Can you clarify this more, explain it more?
It's a very simple matter. For what purpose am I observing the commandments in action? In order to get more of the importance, to reestablish the importance of observing them in intention, in thought. And that's why the Kabbalists did it. And over time, people left behind the matter of the intention. They just left the act and will carry out, perform the mitzvot. For me, the important thing is to just eat kosher meat, right? Or not to see leavened chametz in Passover, right? I don't think anymore that it has anything to do with spirituality, that it has anything to do with the tendencies of my heart, my intention, but only it's only an act, a beast, to eat kosher meat, kosher beasts, and during Passover not to touch leavened. And that's not correct. It's not enough. Because a commandment without intention is like a body without a soul. No soul. There is a body doing something, but it has no soul in it. That's the problem. And of course, this is after the ruin of the temple. That's how the nation divided into Kabbalists and non-Kabbalists. Before that, you had wars between the Tzedokim and the Pushim and so on, and the sages. It's a very serious problem over our history. That the people of Israel lost the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's not in the people. They don't think the wisdom of Kabbalah is the main, most important thing, even though it's called the wisdom of truth. And that's how it remained through to our times. It's a terrible shame, and this brought about all of our troubles over time, as the Kabbalists write. But alongside this, we can also say that it's not mandatory, you don't have to do it, we don't compel anyone to carry out these physical actions, which are called commandments, the commandments which are taught to people, meaning that each one can teach to another and learn from another. However, what we do need to learn is how to observe these commandments in intention. And this can only be done in the group. We build it up, and there we learn of how to establish relationships between us and observe the commandments in the true inner spiritual sense. But if you also want to keep them in the physical world, so to speak, it may be that you will begin to feel how these corporeal actions also remind you of the spiritual correction.
Thank you.
That's why when we established the group of Bnei Baruch, we agreed that we accept everyone, men, women, with whatever leanings and tendencies, doesn't matter what or who. We don't take any of that into account. If a person is secular or religious, we don't care about anything other than the spiritual actions. Love thy friend as thyself, to observe this in connection between us to the highest standard. But other than that, because our cause, our purpose is to connect together the whole people of Israel. And how can you do it? Otherwise, we see how broken up and divided it is. So let's allow the men to ask some questions.
Hello, Rav. Hello, everyone. Happy holiday. A question about the 10 plagues. Can you explain a bit the subject of the blood, the frogs, the locusts, and so on? What does that have to do with the relation between us? Why the blood? Why these animals?
No. Come on, I have 20 minutes left. No, don't, just stop. Just stop. Don't be so egoistic. This is something that you have to study. We'll ask NUC to bring us texts on the subject and we'll study. And you will also come and study. It's not so bad if you, you know, exert a little bit more and come here to study. Remind us what you want to study and we'll do it. We'll interpret these plagues more precisely. It's the Ten Sefirot from Malchut through to Keter. That's how we need to see it. Yes.
Happy holiday. Shimon from Ashdod. My question is simple. Every year, on the eve of Passover, we have a Seder meal, and we ask the question, what changes this night? Let's see. What's the love thy neighbor as thyself at the end?
What changed on this night? What we want to say by that is that today we are in such darkness that we can feel that it's darkness, but in this darkness we begin to see the light of redemption. The light of chasadim. And that's why this night is different to all other nights. In other nights, we had just darkness, complete darkness. And on the eve of redemption, the Creator comes to us as a pillar of fire, as it's written. Let's hope we come to that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Men, come on. That's it. They just wanted, and nothing.
So you opened the lesson today that we are one step before the spiritual world.
We are just at the point of breaking through to the spiritual world because we're very close to the seam. If we want, with all our power, to flee the ego, then we just bump into the machsom, into the barrier. And then our pressure against that machsom that we really want to just pass through, then we can feel that we're actually coming out the other side, and that's called spiritual birth. The exodus from Egypt is called spiritual birth, moving from one world to another.
Will it be as a group?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I hope that it'll be as whole tens, but I'm not certain, I'm not sure. Regardless, I want to tell each and every one, your ten doesn't limit you. If you give your entire soul to the ten, you pass through. And it seems to me that after the machsom, the tens will gather and connect in a different way. Those who passed through, and those who didn't. And perhaps the tens will be mixed of some who did pass through and some who didn't, maybe also the case. I can't say we're in a state here now. Nobody did this before, you see. We're the first generation of the last generation. And we'll see. But, you know, why does it matter to me? I need to do what needs to be done. You know, like Nachshon, jumping into the water, and that's it. Just bumping against that wall. And whatever happens, happens. More men. No men? Yes. Give him the microphone.
Good evening and happy holiday. Is there a connection between the actions that are done in Passover to Al Chishena and the hastening of time?
In the things, the actions that happen to us, we have two types of actions, in its time and hastening it. It depends on if we hasten it or not. If we don't hasten it, then it comes about through pressures and plagues, punishments. If we hasten it, then by drawing to us, we do it by drawing the reforming light. And it depends on how it's done, but redemption is guaranteed. And if it's not by you hastening it, then certain conditions will be set up for you so that you will have to hasten it. Let's hope. Let's hope that we accelerate by ourselves without pressures and punishments.
So we need to focus during Passover on preparation for Achishena, the acceleration, the hastening.
Yeah, that's preferable. Yes.
Hello and happy holiday to everyone. To continue what the guy was talking about before, about the acceleration in Beito, there's this question that's in my head for a while. I understand that we need to accelerate the process as much as possible and get to Gmar Tikkun, the end of correction.
We also want it to happen all over the world. You understand what kind of troubles could happen in the world on the path of in its time, right?
Now I tried to find for myself one example in nature that a natural process is accelerated and I get to a better process than in the natural process.
No, you don't get a better result or an inferior result. You get the cure before the plague.
I'll give you an example of what I mean. Let's say that a woman is pregnant and she has an early birth. It's acceleration birth and she has a C-section and there's a problem here. Every result that's done in intervention that's not natural, the result is not good. It's less good. And what I'm seeing, I'm asking a very simple question. Will the quality of the correction in Al-Hishena, the acceleration, will be the same as Beitol with the blows? That's the way the Creator determined it. That's what He wanted with the purpose of creation. And we said it's not good enough for us. We want to accelerate it. We want it to be faster. Question is, will it be the same quality?
I'll answer you. First of all, even before you plan out the Beito Rishena in its time or hastening it, the Creator has already planned it. He prearranged everything. You simply don't know about it. So it seems to you that now you're a hero, you're so mighty, you're moving the train tracks, shifting them from in its time to hastening it. It seems to you that way. That's one thing. And the other is that there is a difference. There is a difference in the speed, right? As we learn in articles such as Free Choice by Bala Sulam, we learn that when we ourselves hasten the times, we develop ourselves. And that's why this happens in a more rapid manner. And with you have blows, you have effort, right? But they're more purposeful, more deliberate, more higher quality. And I'd give another example, not what you gave, but a different example. Let's say now we have with children this disease, what is it called? Measles. Right, we have measles, so there is a difference. Between contracting measles and being sick with it or getting vaccinated, right?
That I understand. You said something very interesting. You're saying there's no difference between Beito and its time and Hishenek, the acceleration. It's all between the Creator?
That is certain.
How is this all depicted?
I want to prepare myself ahead of time for all of the things which He already planned. Why? In order to bring Him contentment. I say, I agree with you, and whatever happens, happens, and I'm not even concerned about what'll happen. I'm not worried. I'm just rushing to our meeting.
Can I ask another small question? The second question has to do with a lady who asked about the chametz, getting rid of the leaven. You said our duty is to see this action as an action that's actually getting rid of the ego. You kind of turn it into ash. I remember sources.
Ego means the intention to receive, not the will to receive, but the intention.
But I remember that there's many exits from Bala Sivam that says that there's no way we can get rid of the ego. We need to control it. We need to overcome it. We need to ride it like a horse that you ride that you can get to anywhere. It's like an engine. It can get you anywhere.
You're correct, but the words aren't clear enough. They aren't scrutinized enough. We need to turn the in order to receive to in order to bestow, just like turning a glove inside out. And you're right when we say to erase it, to burn it, annihilate it. We say that. That's how we see it. But it's not that we can actually do this. We need to keep it safe for the time of correction.
Thank you very much.
He's correct, but according to the words and what the Kabbalists themselves write. The language is as it is. Well, men? None. So, more women. There's another man. Here, go ahead.
We need to do practical actions to unite Israel?
Yes, all of our work, specifically in our time, is to connect the people of Israel together as fast as possible, and specifically here in the land of Israel. And if we make haste doing this, we'll reach good results in the building of the nation, the building of the people, and in how the rest of the nations relate to us. And if we don't connect together, then the forces which emanate from us to the rest of the world will be negative forces, not positive forces. And then the whole world will be more anti-Semitic towards us in a terrible, terrible way. And it all depends on the connection between us.
It needs to happen above the level of just disseminating information. We need to actually do it.
The people of Israel? We need to explain to the people of Israel, even without any relation to the wisdom of Kabbalah, that connection between us is crucial, because only it guarantees our safety, guarantees us to be well off. Otherwise, we can go into very, very bad states in the near future. Because you now see, you hear what's happening all over the world, how they treat Jews, and it'll become much worse. And Trump won't be forever president of the USA, and the world after him will change to our detriment in a very bad way if we don't change until then. And it depends very much on the connection between us. In the connection between us, we belong to the whole world, because the people of Israel aren't a people. It's a group of people that connected to Abraham in ancient Babylon from all the peoples of the world who lived in Babylon back then. Back then, all 70 nations lived in Babylon, and all the representatives, well, not the representatives, but Abraham said, "Who is for the Lord, or to the Lord, come to me." So representatives of all of the nations came to him, and out of this, he assembled a group and brought it to the revelation of the Creator. And so we, on one hand, we're not connected together. We're unrelated, because we don't come from one family. We're representatives of the 70 nations of the world. And therefore, if we connect together, by that we influence the 70 nations of the world to connect as well. And if we do not connect together, by that we also cause them not to be connected, but rather, to the contrary, in conflict and strife. And that's why they say that we're responsible for all of the troubles in the world. And this is correct. It's just to say that. We are at fault. And so, for us, we must only connect, because then us and the world and the Creator will have it better. And you can explain this to everyone without needing to relate to speak about Kabbalah or the upper force or anything. This stems from the fact that we are representatives of the 70 nations of the world. Yes, Mister.
Hello, my name is Yonah from Jerusalem. Very important, it's about our nation. You say that we're not a nation, but that Moses asked the Pharaoh to let us leave.
Yes, but today you become a people. When did it happen? Only at Mount Sinai, when we received the upper light, the reforming light. Now, we can connect together into a group which is called a people or a nation. We are very different. We are very, very distant to one another within. But Baal Sulam says we are like, you know, like nuts in a bag, you know. They want to just run out of it, but the bag holds them together. The external problems and troubles hold us together as a people. You see, if we have a little less trouble, then we run away in every direction.
How do we explain that we are a people of Israel that came out of Egypt, and that's the connection in that time?
Of course.
So how did the Egyptians chase after people of Israel if we were connected?
We were connected then thanks to Pharaoh.
There's a conflict here between if we were connected, then that we were connected and chased after.
So I'm answering you. Thanks to Pharaoh, who pressured us, we had to connect together. So
we connected.
We came out of Egypt.
So if he was connected, why was he chasing after us? So the question is like this.
About this question, regarding this question, you need to read the article, where is it? Bash, volume 3, about the mixed multitude. It's the matter of the environment. There is such an article in Bash, volume 3, which explains who chased after the people of Israel who came out of Egypt.
It's not Pharaoh?
No, it's not Pharaoh, it's not the Egyptians. These are those who fear God but serve Pharaoh. Those who serve Pharaoh while fearing God, meaning the people who hated the wisdom of Kabbalah and wanted only to, you know, observe the corporeal commandments. You'll read about it. I didn't think we'll come to such matters. Yes. No, you want to know that's right, but not this way. Yes.
Good evening. I wanted to know why, as a result of circumstances of hate and bad things that happen to us, to all people, is there a connection? What happens then? Is there reforming light? And as a result of that, there's connection? Or is there some other force that causes the connection?
If we flee from the bad, from the evil, through lack of choice and connect together, then we are as sheep, not as people, but as sheep who come together in order to safeguard themselves from wolves. You're familiar with that, right? That's it. So we're not called servants of the Lord, nor the people of Israel. By so doing, we do this the same as every other nation and every other beast, actually. However, if you want to come to a state where your connection will give you some spiritual ascent, you have to make this connection in order to resemble the Creator, meaning that inside of this connection, you establish the power of bestowal. And then when you establish this connection, you will begin to discover the upper world, the upper force there. And that's what we need to do. Well, perhaps this is it. Perhaps we'll sing something.
Gesher tzar meod, gesher tzar meod, kol haolam kulo, gesher tzar meod, gesher tzar meod.
So may you have a happy holiday. Please come here not only on Passover, but whenever you want, often. And I promise to give you everything I can. Happy holiday.